is Matthias Bauer. I am a senior economist at ESIB, and today I would like to welcome you to our new episode of ESIB's Global Economy Podcast. Today we have Joanna Jasiewicz. Joanna is the representative of the management board of TLP, the Transport i Logistyka Polska, which is Poland's employers association of the transport and logistics industry. And with Joanna, we would like to discuss how the COVID-19 emergency measures recently implemented by the governments of EU member states impacted on the road transport sector in the EU, with a particular focus on Poland and Central and Eastern European countries. And we would also like to hear Joanna's views about the impact of border controls, green lanes, but also the suspension of the EU's controversial freight cabotage restrictions. So, Joanna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Matthias. Thank you very much for this invitation. So we're all facing the lockdown and home offices. So I do appreciate that I can share some information with your organization and with our listeners. As you have mentioned, I represent a transport organization from Poland. We focus mainly on medium, big size companies, but we also represent the interests of small hauliers, which have created also the local organization. So I have a package of information what is happening on the market in Poland, but also what is happening on the market in the European Union related to this difficult COVID situation.
Well, glad to hear that you are well in times of crisis. Let's talk a bit about the freight transport industry and a few characteristics of the industry in Poland. When I looked into Europe's freight transport industry, I learned that freight cabotage operations are extremely important for a number of Eastern European countries like Lithuania, Bulgaria, Romania. And I would be interested if this is also true for Poland as a country. How many members that you have do actually operate across EU borders, and what are their key markets?
Concerning mostly Poland, as you know, because probably you have also reviewed the statistics, we are the leaders of the market. The majority of the international transport operations in the European Union are run and performed by the Polish hauliers. So contrary to a very common belief, for example, cabotage operations are not the key element of the transport operations that are performed by Polish companies. It is in fact a small percentage of that what we do, because we focus mainly on bilateral operations. Our key market is definitely Germany due to the automotive sector, and I believe that's the key market for most of the transport companies in Europe. But we also focus on the international and cross-trade operations. So the cabotage, it's not an essential part. It's a very useful operation. However, it's not essential for the activities both of our members, but also to transport companies in Poland.
Perhaps we should introduce to our listeners the concept of cabotage. When we talk about cabotage, we are talking about a haulage company from a certain EU member state performing transport services in another member state, several transport services within a certain period of time. When we talk about cross-border services, bilateral services, this is just trucks going back and forth between countries for which cabotage rules do not apply. Is this correct?
Yes, that is correct. When we talk about the cabotage, usually we talk about three operations within 7 days in a different member state than the state in which we are registered. So that's what we mean. We use, of course, cabotage operations. However, we do not do something which is called, let's say, permanent cabotage, commonly used in political discussions, particularly in Brussels.
So the big common denominator of cross-border services and cabotage is that truck drivers eventually have to cross borders. Restrictions on cross-border traffic in general and also cross-border freight transport were among the first measures imposed by European governments in response to the uncertainties of the coronavirus crisis. What kind of measures have you observed, and how did they impact on your members?
So mainly we have in fact suffered from the closure of the borders in the European Union. Not only the economic slowdown, it means the reduced number of the transport assignments that were entrusted to transport companies that caused significant economic problems for the transport companies, but mostly the mobility of workers consistent the huge, I think, the one of the biggest challenges for the transport companies. From the very practical perspective, we were stopped on the borders. It means not only the trucks were stopped, and for sure you are aware of the fact that there were, for example, to come to Poland and to come back from the west side of the European Union to come back to Poland, you had to wait for several hours at the borders. The traffic jams were over 50 kilometers long, and the situation was repetitive for several days after the first closure of the border was initiated. It was a border with Poland, with Germany, with France, with Italy, with Croatia. There are also several restrictions, and even right now we are facing very negative market behaviors, for example, on the border of Turkey. What we have faced also is a quarantine that was most of every citizens crossing the border. And it also took a couple of days that international drivers that are driving the trucks and they're transporting the goods in the European Union, that are not subject of the quarantine. We are in fact very happy that the European Commission has decided to introduce those green lines in the European Union and underlined in its guidelines that the transport employees should have a full mobility. However, still we observe that there are still restrictions. Please also note that certain member states have introduced some additional administrative burden on the borders. It means that even if the truck driver is crossing the border and is not a subject to quarantine or is not subject of some additional time-consuming medical check, it still has to present, for example, additional written statements that he's on the business trip and what he's exactly doing. So this is significantly slowing down the exchange of goods in the European Union, which has a very negative impact on the situation of the consumers, because also slowing down the exchange of goods like food, like medical equipment. So for sure, it has a negative impact on our economic situation, but for sure, it has a very negative impact on the mobility, on the single market and exchange of goods in general. That's what is absolutely necessary for the society.
As far as I'm aware of, we do not have similar restrictions inside European Union member states. I am German by passport, and as far as I know, there are no restrictions, border controls that are enforced at the state borders of our federal states. So this leaves me with another question. Do you actually consider that some of these measures are inappropriate or in any way unfit for the purpose of containing the spread of the virus among Europeans?
Well, definitely, we believe that certain of the activities are more the example of overprotective measures that were introduced. I understand, and we all understand, that we need to protect the society from spreading COVID-19. However, we should be very careful when we try to apply the same measures concerning the mobility in the aspect of the international transport of goods, because we cannot stop our activities and we cannot stop transporting the goods, particularly those essential ones for the society, for the consumers, just because from the political perspective in a different member state, the politicians have a different approach. So we see a lot of protectionist measures that were imposed, particularly those administrative ones, but also what we face also, but this is common, I think, for the most member states, it's also the lack of information concerning the transport of goods on the borders. It means that once we go from Poland, for example, to Italy, we're not fully sure through which country we can go without problems. I don't know if you also noted in different countries, the measures have changed from 1 hour to another hour. It means at 12 o'clock, we could cross, for example, the border of Croatia and go to some other country. But on the other hand, within 1 hour, the borders were closed. So we have faced a lot of administrative and a lot of practical problems on the borders, and there is still lack of clarity of many obligations of the employers in the transport sector, how to perform properly our activities. It is very difficult to find any detailed information, for example, concerning the sanitary measures that we have to impose and apply towards our employees. So there is a lot of troubles, and still those problems are not properly resolved either by member states or the European Commission.
Yeah, speaking of over-regulation, protectionism, and the European Commission's role in this situation, you just mentioned that the Commission published a set of guidelines for member states to safeguard, basically, value chains within the EU. The European Commission stated and called on member states to act immediately to temporarily suspend all types of road access restrictions in place in their territory. And they explicitly called on member states to allow transport workers to cross internal borders irrespective of their nationality or place of residence. And as far as I know, most member states responded positively to this recommendation, including Germany's transport ministry, which soon after the publication of the Commission's guidelines published a sort of a decree arguing that they will not punish violations of the transport law anymore and they will suspend cabotage regulations until September 2020. But a week later, this decree was withdrawn. The Ministry of Transport cancelled the previously announced suspension of cabotage regulation, and the transport minister explicitly called on Germany's police to immediately reinstate, for example, the 3 in 7 day cabotage rule, even during the corona crisis. And it turned out that this was the outcome of a lobbying campaign by some of Germany's largest, probably most influential lobbying associations, which worked together in an effort to draft a transport package together with Germany's Federal Transport Ministry. And they argued basically they want to ensure security of supply of the German economy. And at the same time, they argued that they condemned the reduction in freight prices that was initiated in many places in the EU. So obviously, this whole development took place because lobby pressure by protectionist lobby groups in Germany and lobby activities that we also see in other Western Europe member states took place. And this is also a strong demonstration of how protectionist cabotage regulations, the regulations that we currently see at the EU level enforced since 2009, actually are. But when you talk to policymakers in the Parliament, in the Council, to some extent also in the Commission, they don't see cabotage as an exclusive protectionist measure. They rather treat it like a policy that was implemented to improve European truck drivers' working conditions. What do you say? What is your perspective on that argument?
So we have, I would say, the feeling of certain disconnection between the political reality and the reality as we can see on the market and at the borders. We fully confirm that we were initially quite surprised, positively surprised with the German approach towards the cabotage rules. It means some sort of relaxation of the rules, at least during the control operations, which, as you have mentioned, was withdrawn. Then we were faced with the initiatives, French initiatives concerning suspension of cabotage, I mean temporarily forbidding cabotage operations. That was one of the concepts that we have also noticed on the market. What we see, of course, is that all the discussions concerning our mobility package and generally the transport sector are really not based on the reality that we can see. It's like without a proper knowledge on the transport situation, what is happening both on the borders and what are the actual data. What we also see that even if we prepare some economic report discussing what is happening, it means what kind of transport operations we are performing, where are the real dangers in the transport sector? It's not maybe a social conditions of drivers, but also the climate issues. We have this feeling of disconnection and lack of interest of policymakers concerning essential problems. We see, and we're really quite surprised, that instead of improving the situation in the transport sector, the European Commission and the members of the European Parliament are still following the discussion on the mobility package in this extremely difficult situation in the transport sector and most of the European economic sectors. We are still continuing the building more protectionist European measures that will not bring any positive added value either to the European markets or to the member states. We're just creating the measures which will be more complex, much more expensive, without legal certitude as to the situation of the employer and the employee. And what is more important, we see that we're building the measures, particularly the legal measure, as COVID is non-existing, which is really quite surprising. From one hand, we have a European Commission COVID response group, and on the other hand, we have the continuation of the discussion on the protectionist measures concerning, as you have mentioned, the cabotage operations, but generally access to the market. Posting of workers is just a small element of the discussion. The access to the market and the new rules that are to be imposed in the mobility package may in fact stop the exchange of goods in the international transport sector. It will not affect only the Polish transport companies, but it will affect all the companies in the European Union, and it will affect for sure all consumers that will have a limited access to the goods.
Yeah, you mentioned the adverse environmental implications that cabotage regulations may have. I know of several studies that come to the conclusion that already existing cabotage regulations have increased the number of empty trailers on European streets, and the proposed regulations in the mobility package 1 would add additional CO2 emissions because of more empty trailers on the streets, particularly in large European transit countries like Germany. Then, of course, the laws that are currently enforced are discriminatory by design, discriminating against the people who hold the wrong EU passport. Mm-hmm. When we listen to policymakers in Brussels, a lot of what they say with respect to economic policy making refers to the term single European market. The policy initiatives for new EU-wide regulations are usually defended by calling out the need for unified rules for commerce, rules that are non-discriminatory with regard to nationality, or in other words, non-discriminatory with regard to where workers or where companies actually come from in the EU. But when we look at recent developments, including the restrictions that you just mentioned, they vividly demonstrate that in transport services, the term single market seems to be nothing more than an empty phrase or a political buzzword. Would you agree? And also, many people argue that in politics, nothing is more permanent than a temporary measure. Are these measures actually going to disappear, or will some of them remain in place for a longer period of time?
Unfortunately, we believe that, generally the word cabotage and cabotage operations are extremely sensitive in the European politics. Meaning that we really don't count on that, that there will be reduced burdens in the cabotage, or there will be more flexibility in the cabotage operations. What we fear the most, that there will be more protectionist measures. Currently, as I have mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, we face a lot of administrative burdens. And those burdens are in addition to the one that existed before COVID-1 situation. So we observe more protectionism, more internal focus approach. And this is very visible also in the discussions in the European Parliament. Yes, the word single market, European values, non-discrimination, those are the key words. However, they seem have no contact in the reality. We are not treated, and that's, I think, quite common understanding of that what is happening on the transport market. We're not equally treated as other Western European companies. That what is right now suggested in the Mobility Package 1, but also in local measures, it enforces us to, in fact, somehow abandon the freedom of providing the services in the European Union towards the freedom of establishment. It means it seems that the European institution encourage us to move with our businesses to other member states and not to use this freedom to provide services from the country in which we initially were registered. So we cannot perceive this sort of activities and this sort of a result of a consequence arising from the European discussions as the positive one. We are very concerned as to the future of the common European policy. We need the European approach. We need the European solutions. However, we need also the reconsideration of the existing measures imposed due to COVID-19, but also a revision of the proposal of the Mobility Package 1. That what is on the table in the discussion is not responding either to the social needs of the drivers, to the needs of the European companies in all member states. We cannot, I think, allow ourselves to such a non-European approach to something which is also essential for the European consumers as the common market in the European Union.
So what you say is that the single European market seems to be under attack. And what should happen is that European policymakers agree on European solutions that are in effect non-discriminatory and safeguard the freedoms that are inscribed in the Lisbon Treaty. Is this correct?
Yes, that is fully correct. We need to focus on the most important initial European values as the freedom to provide services, freedom to move in the European Union without unnecessary and unjustified limitations on the borders or limitations in the law.
Very well. So thank you very much, Joanna, for your perspective. I am confident that we are slowly leaving the crisis politics, and I hope that we find ourselves soon back in normal times. We learned a lot about the transport market and the regulatory restrictions that prevent not only operators from Poland, but also others from providing their services across European borders on a non-discriminatory basis. I hope that as many policymakers as possible, primarily people in the European Parliament, will listen to our podcast, will listen to what you have said. And for that, I would like to thank you also on behalf of my colleagues at ESIP, on behalf of our listeners, and I wish you all the best. Take care and stay healthy.
Thank you very much, Matthias, and I wish you all to stay safe at home.
Thank you.
Thank you.